are listening to the North Hills Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Hetzer.
Proverbs chapter 12. And of course, last week we finished our series on marriage. I've had some people ask about getting those on CD. And what we may be doing, I'm having someone work on it for me. We still have some of those nice cases left. We may just get some of those in cases with the book, with the outlines, with the messages, if you'll just give us a few weeks, and we may be able to get that in a case form. And if you'd like to get that for someone you know to help them, and then that'll be available however the Lord would use that. And then here shortly, we will be doing some things on parenting. But I like to spread it out. I don't want to go marriage and then parenting. I like to get into some expositional Bible preaching a little bit. And so we're going to do that tonight. We're going to be in Proverbs. Eventually, we're going to get into some minor prophets. May do Micah or Habakkuk or something of that nature. And you're saying, who is that? They're amazing books of the Bible. And so we'll probably get into some of that on Wednesday night as well. So got a lot of exciting things there. Proverbs chapter 12. A verse I've been thinking a lot about, and it's not a fun verse. You know what I mean? Why I say it's not a fun verse? It's not a verse that I think in application a lot of us will take as fun, but certainly needful. In Proverbs 12, verse 1, the writer says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." It's brutish. Let's read that verse one more time. Can we read it together? Ready, begin. "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless now the preaching of your word. And I want to thank you for that last hymn that we sang. And Father, the thoughts of the writer about loving you and adoring you, worshiping you. And Father, I pray that now as we get into your word, I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought. I pray, Father, that you would help me to hold forth the word of life, that the people that are here tonight would leave with your word and leave with something that they can meditate on, something that you can work into their heart, into their life. I pray you'd bless this service, bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 12, verse 1, we are introduced to a new character in the book of Proverbs. We've looked throughout the book of Proverbs. We've seen the strange woman. We've seen the sluggard. We've seen the fool. We've seen the simple one. And tonight in chapter 12, verse 1, we're introduced to another character or another attribute. In verse 1, as it says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." We're introduced to the brutish person. Now, when you look up the word brute, the first thing I thought of was when I was a kid at Christmas, my mom always got me Brute 33. Anybody ever had Brute 33? Have any clue what I'm talking about? All right, a couple of you. God bless you. Anyway, it's not talking about Brute 33. When you look up the word brute, here's what it's speaking of. It's speaking of the nature of animals. It's speaking of the basic function or the base level of an animal. And when we're talking about being brutish, or when we're talking about a brute person behaving like an animal, really we can break it down. If you really walk through it and think it and chew through it, there's basically two features of a brutish person that are similar to an animal. And I'm going to give you these two characteristics of animals. The first characteristic is this: animals are instinctive instead of spiritual or rational. Animals are instinctive rather than rational or spiritual. In other words, if you and I were to go and fly into Africa or go somewhere where you have open valleys or mountainous areas and go into Yellowstone or go where you could observe the animal kingdom in their habitat, and you were to observe them, here's what you would find. You would find that animals are primarily, they live within a box of instinct. They live primarily within a box or a realm of instincts. When a person goes to Africa in their jeep and they're filming lions or they're filming elephants, the lions don't stop and look at the humans and say, "Wonder what you're doing here." Now, they may think that at first, but they don't think, where are they from? I wonder if there's other creatures outside of this country we live in. I wonder if there is a God who created them. I wonder why we exist. I wonder what our purpose is in life. No, you don't have lions gathering together discussing spiritual things. You don't have them thinking beyond their daily life and beyond their daily instinctive functions. They're not rational beings. They don't have a conscience. They don't have a spiritual drive in them, seeking God, worshiping God, etc. Here's basically how an animal lives. They're driven by instinct. They hunt or gather food. So if they're a predator, they're either chasing animals or looking for animals all day. If they are not, they are gathering nuts or they're eating leaves or they're finding a pasture and somewhere that they can gather their food. They spend their time hunting, gathering, of course, with that eating and drinking. And then they also spend their time having babies, protecting their young. And then they migrate or create territories or homes where they live or where they go to another place to carry out an action. So if you and I watch an animal and you observe animals, here's what you're going to observe. They are primarily driven by instinct. They operate within a box. They're eating. They're gathering. They're defending themselves. They're having babies. They're protecting their young. They're building a territory. They're building a home. They don't step out of the box of instinct and say, I wonder what there is more to life. I wonder how we as lions could interact with these human beings and become friends. They don't think that way. They live within a realm of instincts that drive them and that they fulfill. Their life is instinctive. The second thing about animals that kind of correlates to brutes is this. They are savage instead of humane. They are savage instead of humane. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not saying that animals do not demonstrate acts of kindness. Okay? They do. I'm not saying that animals are all just crazy, mean, and cruel. They're not. But they're not. It's not like Bambi either. Okay? Don't let Disney make you think that the animal kingdom is like human beings. It's not. The animal world is savage. It is not humane. We'll give you an example. Okay, well, animals hunt each other as animals and eat their babies. Predators, they look at buffalo and they don't go eat mama buffalo. They look for baby buffalo. They look for sick buffalo. They look for weak buffalo. And they go and they hunt that buffalo and they kill that buffalo and they're not worried about it. They're not considering, I'm hurting another animal. I'm taking someone's life. They don't think that way. That's savage. They fight ruthlessly and brutally over territories that they have marked, that they have set for themselves. They fight and dominate for a mate and to be involved in the mating process. Smaller animals, sick animals die because they will not get help. If you're a baby and you're a cub or you're some type of an animal and you're born and you're sick or you're weak and the other ones are stronger than you, guess what? You don't get to eat. They don't make sure everybody gets to eat. The strongest survive. It's savage, all right? Some of you are like, man, because you've watched too much Disney, all right? You need to maybe go over to Nat Geo Wild for a couple days and let some of that sink in, okay? Fathers who raise their children will kick them out of their pride or kick them out once they become a threat to their territory or to their strength. So in other words, when you look at the animal world is survive, get what you need. It's not humane. It's savage. Okay. So when we're talking about the idea of being brutish animal, we're talking about two basic aspects. One, instinctive. Two, savage. That's the primary thrust of the concept of being an animal, being brutish. Now, when God created humanity, God created humanity perfect. God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, separating man from the animal kingdom. Man had conscience. Man had spiritual life. Man had an awareness of God. Man had an awareness of things beyond instinctive life. Man had a consciousness of self, a consciousness of purpose, feelings, emotions, deep thoughts, rationale, all these different things. And when God created Adam and Eve, they existed in the garden in perfection, spiritually perfect, walking with God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the whole thing changed. They still maintained the image of God in the sense that they have rationale and conscience and awareness, but the spiritual life of humanity died. God said that the moment that they ate of the fruit, they died. They didn't die physically, they died spiritually. Okay. That spiritual life within them died, ceased to exist. And with that came something alive in them, the sin nature. Sinful, natural, sinful tendencies towards doing wrong, towards disobeying, towards dishonoring the Lord. That came upon man. And so man, the Bible says in Romans, was dominated, was a servant to the sin nature, which now was a part of the DNA of human beings. When you and I were born, our DNA, in our DNA, was the sin nature reigning over us, ruling over us, saying, you will live this way. When we got saved, we became spiritually alive. The spiritual life came back. We became a new creation. The Spirit of God dwelled within us, washed us refreshed. We were regenerated, reborn by the Spirit of God. However, even Christians still have a flesh. Means the remnant of our body, okay, still has remnants or residue of the sin nature within it. In the Scriptures, one of the terms used for sin nature is the word carnal. The word carnal. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians said to the church of Corinth that they were yet carnal. Now listen to what the word carnal means. You can look this word up. It literally means this. Listen to this. Animal. Pertaining to the flesh. Under the control of animal appetites. So here's what I want us to understand. That the idea of brutish, the idea of a person behaving like an animal is synonymous with the idea of being carnal. It's the idea of the sin nature. It's the idea of that part of us that wants to do wrong, that wants to disobey God, that wants to dishonor the Word of God. And so it says, well, how is that? How is it that you and I in our sin nature, we are brutish? How is it that you and I in our sin nature, we are animal-like? Well, the same way that animals are brutes. One, our flesh is instinctive rather than spiritual. Did you hear me? Our flesh is instinctive. It is driven by instinct rather than spirituality. Okay, hold your place here and look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you're awake tonight, say amen. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this. I'm hoping the Lord will help me bring this all together tonight. And look at Galatians chapter 5. If you're new to your Bible, remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and if the list isn't long enough, and such like. All the subcategories that are similar to all these. Okay? Now, look at Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which also ye walked sometimes when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? Then go back to Proverbs. So here's what I want you to kind of understand, that the flesh, the carnal nature, has instincts. The instincts aren't to hunt for buffalo. The instincts aren't to get water from a running brook. If you take all the different passages in the New Testament and bring them together when it's talking of flesh or it's talking of carnality, if you want to know what the instincts of the flesh look like, here's what it looks like: immoral, proud, selfish, divisive, without God, false doctrine. Those are essentially summarizing what the flesh looks like. So here's what I want you to understand. When a person is brutish, here's what it means. It means that their flesh has control of them and they are acting by the instincts of the flesh rather than by the spiritual truths of the Word of God. They are being driven, or they're allowing themselves to be driven by those instincts: fornication, division, pride, false doctrine, and revelings, and all these different things. That's what they're being driven. Think about the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son: the father leaves his son, or the son leaves his father. And you know what he does? Here's what he basically does. He gives himself over to the flesh. And he begins to live by the instincts of the flesh. He parties, he wastes his money, he's out with the wrong friends, he's involved in all these wicked behavior. Do you know what he's acting like? He's acting brutish. He's acting animal-like. Animal-like? Not animal-like that he's eating raw animal. Animal-like that he is being driven by instincts rather than by spiritual truth. He's instinctive, okay? Surely there's been a time in your life where you have allowed the flesh to rule you. Have you ever noticed it's instinctive? When the flesh has control, the flesh has, it's like instinctive. It has certain areas it drives to, okay? That is brutish. It's animal-like. It's also the flesh is savage instead of loving. Over and over, do you know what I saw? If you pay attention to those phrases in the flesh, you'll see things like this: strife, emulations, wrath, hatred, variance. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth that they were carnal. And here's why he said they were carnal. He said that there were divisions among them. In other words, when the flesh is driving people, guess what they're not? They're not loving. They're divisive. They cause quarrels. They cause fightings. They gossip. They backbite. They talk bad about people. They settle in. They throw little things over here and they get this person against this person. They stir up things. Okay? Think about when David was in the flesh. How loving was he with Uriah? I would call that pretty savage. Think about Saul when he was in the flesh with a javelin. Did that seem very humane? Did that seem very loving as he was throwing a javelin at David to kill him? And then he even tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, with a javelin? Of course, Cain, completely dominated by his flesh, and acted animal-like, savage-like, in brutally murdering his own brother. You see, when the flesh is in control, you're going to have this instinctive immorality, idolatry, false doctrine, strife. You're going to have all these things. And then you're also going to have arguments, yelling, sides being chosen, gossip, people rising up against other people. Here's what all that stuff is. It's brutish. It's brutish. It's not spiritual people stepping back and looking at things through the Scriptures and letting the Spirit of God guide them and letting the Spirit of God lead them. No, it is this fleshly, animalistic carnality that is driving them instinctively to carry out the works of the flesh. It's brutish. It's animal-like. You know, one of the saddest things is to see someone who had a walk with God get so far from God, they that they're literally acting like an animal. They might get hooked onto drugs. They might become so filled with rage. They might be so involved in immorality that you look at them and here's what you're saying. What are you thinking? You ever said that? What are you thinking? They're not thinking. Do you know why? They're brutish. They're being driven by instinct from the flesh that's controlling them. So that's what brutish is. Brutish is a fleshly behavior that is animal-like. It's instinctive and it's savage. Now, notice what he says in verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, "Whoso loveth instruction." Now, we're going to pack this whole verse together in just a second. But the word instruction here does not mean what a lot of people think. The word instruction here does not mean like, let me sit down and teach you how to do something. The word instruction can be used like this: correction, discipline. The word instruction means this. It means to discipline or correct, listen, to remove folly or waywardness. As you read the Word of God in Proverbs, we've covered this in the earlier chapters, but it's been a while since we've been here. When you read the book of Proverbs and you see this word instruction, the idea is this, is a father has a child and this child has waywardness. This child has falling in them. This child may have brutishness in them, and their instruction, the discipline, the correction comes into them to do what? To help drive out the folly, to help drive out the waywardness, to help drive out the brutishness that a person may have. So instruction is designed by God to deal with our brutish living. What do you mean? Okay. Every one of us can be brutish sometimes. Every one of us can be carnal. Now, Brother Dan is not the only one in here, because he's the only one to amen me. He's not the only one who can be brutish. I can be brutish, and so can everyone in here. We can all have days where we are operating in the flesh. We can all have areas in our life where we are operating in the flesh. Now listen, and one of God's remedies for us is instruction. It is correction. It is corrective measures to help drive out the brutishness that it may be in our life. It starts off on a basic level with the gospel. No, you have a person who's lost, they don't know Jesus Christ, they are a full-blown brute. They are completely governed by the flesh. No, they may look good, they may even carry out themselves in morality, but if a person is lost, they are governed and dominated by their flesh. And so what does someone do? Someone comes with the correction. Someone comes with the instruction and helps them understand that they are sinners, that they are in need of Christ, that they are in need of forgiveness, and that correction is meant not to make them feel bad, just because to make them feel bad for feeling bad's sake, but to help them understand that they are sinners and that sin needs to be dealt with. Why? So that that brutishness of humanity can be dealt with in them. It's correction by a parent. And no, it doesn't take a parent very long at all to see the brutish nature of babies and children. Instincts, savageness, and the parent must apply correction. No, I know America's not feeling this, but a parent must apply correction to help drive out that brutishness that exists within that child. Sometimes it's admonition from a mate. Sometimes a husband or a wife sees brutishness, carnality, instinct, lack of love demonstrated. They're being driven by the flesh. There's a brutishness about them, and the mate may, in kind and loving words, reprove or admonish their spouse. Oftentimes it comes from the preaching of the Word of God. It comes as we sit in church and the Word of God is opened and the Bible is preached and the Holy Spirit is in our heart and He is enlightening us and showing us, this is you. You are brutish in this area. You are being driven by carnality, in this area. Sometimes it comes from a fellow brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes it comes from a boss or from an authority. But no matter where it comes, correction comes. It could be corporal punishment from a parent. It could be a Bible message. It could be a message on a podcast. It could be a person simply speaking to one another. It could be the example of another. But it is corrective. It admonishes one and says, listen, you are wrong. You are brutish in this area. And that's designed. It's been invented by God to help deal with our brutishness. And so here's what happens. Chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Now I'm going to bring this together in a second. But I want you to notice what happens, why instruction works. Why does instruction help? Why does correction, why does discipline help people? Here's why. Because it brings knowledge. It brings knowledge. What do you mean by knowledge? Okay. If you are acting by instinct, guess what you're not doing? You're not thinking. You're not seeing things. You don't have spiritual knowledge. You're not observing correctly. You're not seeing correctly. You're not understanding correctly. And here's what correction does. Correction opens our eyes and gives us spiritual knowledge about this area of brutishness within us. Have you ever had somebody tell you something about yourself? Have you ever had somebody reprove you in a certain way, correct you in a certain way, and you didn't see it? And when they told you, you learned and you had spiritual knowledge about that or about yourself. And here's what it did. It helped you elevate yourself from that brutishness to a spiritual, a little higher spiritual level. Because you now have knowledge. You now see that about yourself. You now see this area that you need to improve in. Think about when David was reproved by Nathan. David had committed his sin with Bathsheba. He was still the king. Nathan reproved him. Nathan corrected him. Nathan instructed him. And David took that correction. You know what it did? It helped him see who he was, what he had done, and from there he started acting not so brutish. He started behaving himself spiritually, confessing his sin, trying to get right, and seeking God to help him as he tried to restore himself and his family back to God. You see, instruction to a lost person says, hey, you need Jesus Christ to get saved. Spiritual knowledge is given that says, I need to be saved. Instruction comes to a child and says, you can't speak to this person this way. You need to obey me. You can't act that way. You can't respond that way. And now the child has been corrected. Now that child has been instructed and knowledge comes and they understand, I'm not supposed to speak that way. I'm not supposed to respond that way. In a marriage or in the workplace, somebody comes to you and they instruct you about your attitude. They instruct you about your priorities. They instruct you about things that are in your life, and that reproof comes and that instruction comes. And here's what it does. It opens your eyes and gives you knowledge that you didn't see so that you can fix it and become more spiritual in your life. And so because of that, he says this in verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. He says you and I should love instruction. We should love reproof. We should love correction. Why? Because that's how we get knowledge. You know what I wrote next to that? That's not very fun. We should not. I'm gonna come back to this in a second in the end and really emphasize this. But no, here's what he's saying. You and I should love correction. Obviously, biblical correction, truth. We should love correction. Why? Because it's by correction that I get knowledge. And it's by that knowledge that I make changes in my life so that I don't behave so brutishly. Somebody has a bad attitude. Somebody's rebellious. Somebody's becoming covetous. Somebody has priorities that are in the mix. And they are confronted by Scripture, or they are confronted by a friend, or they are confronted by a church member, or what have you. And now all of a sudden they should love that correction. Why? Because that correction gives them knowledge that will help them change and fix it so they won't behave brutishly. So I should as a child or a teenager, I should love the correction of my parents. As a spouse, I should love the correction of my mate. As a worker, I should love the correction of my boss. Obviously, when it's truth and when it's correct and when it's right, I should love it. By the way, most correction has some truth in it that you can draw out of it. I've had critics of me in my life who have not always done it in a way that I think was very godly. And if you've been in any form of leadership, you've had people say things to you, assess you in ways that are unspiritual. But you know what? I always am usually able to find some truth in it. And so can you. And you should love that correction because it brings knowledge that helps you change so that you don't behave so brutishly. But this is difficult. And Solomon knows that, so that's why this proverb's here, because he says this: whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof. You know what our pride does? Our pride hates correction. We don't like correction. Our flesh says, you're about to make me very upset right now. You're about to make me clam up and get distant from you right now. You're about to make me run and quit and leave right now. We do not like reproof. We do not like instruction. And you know what we can do? In our pride, we can reject it. We can. Oh, a young person can say, I'm listening to you, but I'm not listening to you. A spouse can say, I'm listening to you, but I'm not listening to you. A church member can sit in the pew and listen to the preaching and look at the message and choose to reject the instruction. And here's how we say it. We don't say, I want to live brutishly. I enjoy living animal style. I do like animal style in and out, but not this way, amen? And here's what we'll say. They don't understand. I just see it differently. I'm not that bad. You're just trying to find something wrong with me because you don't like me. I'm a lot better than others. I'm shaking my head in agreement, but in my heart I'm shaking no. You have problems of your own. I wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for this or for that. This is someone else's fault. And we can reject it. But here's the problem with that. He says, he that hateth reproof is what? Brutish. Guess what happens? If you and I reject reproof, guess what happens? Nothing. And you know what we do? We continue to behave by instinct. And we continue to behave by brutalities. In other words, I can reject it. I can reject what my parents have to say. I can reject what the Word of God has to say. I can reject what spiritual people have to say, and I can make it known I don't really want to hear what you have to say, and guess what I can choose to do? I can choose to live a brutish life. And maybe just that area, which will spread, and I can choose to have this brutish carnal attitude, and I can choose to have this brutish carnal pride. No, listen, and there are Christians who go year after year after year, and someone says, I don't understand how a Christian can be in church for X amount of years and still be this way, or how a Christian can still be that way. Let me tell you how a Christian can be cocky, or a Christian can be proud, or a Christian can be divisive, or a Christian can be a gossip, or a Christian can be involved in lust after 20 years of being in church. Here's how: because they reject correction and they choose to live in brutish life. That's how. And they just say, I'll just keep living this way. I think about after Saul rejected Samuel. Samuel made it clear, this is what you do, Saul. This is how you get it right. Here's how you behave. Samuel rejected his correction. And you know what the next thing we see is with Saul? We see him at the Witch of Endor. Dressed up, trying to act like he's not the king. Behaving instinctively. Panicking. Not sure what to do. You can't talk to God. Behaving like a brute, behaving like an animal. By the way, this is why all the money and all the homes and all the programs of our country will not fix the core character of this country. No, listen, you can line up this nation and you can give them medical and you can give them a house and you can give them money and you can even give them free college. That's not going to change our nation, because if this nation doesn't want to receive correction, then this nation will continue to act like brutes. And it will drive off instinct. It will drive savagely. And here's what we'll have. We'll just have people with houses and cars and a degree who are using those things to live in sin and to cause more division. And so that's what happens when we reject instruction. We just choose to live in a brutish nature. Well, there are marriages where people in the marriage have rejected correction, and in that area, they live carnally. And they just have let it sit. And so because of that, because rejection does that, he says this again in verse 1. He says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Every morning I get up and I drink liquid vitamin. If you have ever drank liquid vitamin, it is disgusting. Unless you found something that I don't know about. Every morning I get up, I have this big bottle of it, and I shake it up. It's green. It looks like it came out of a sewer. I pour it into a little cap, and I take a drink. And I've been doing this forever, and you know what? I still cannot stand it. But every morning I drink it. You know why? Because it helps me. Every morning I get up, I go to the fridge, I pour it in there, and I drink it. Do you know why? Because it helps my body function at a higher level. Because it's helped keep me from getting sick. Because it's given me a lot of nutrients and vitamins that I need. It tastes bad, but I love it because it helps me. Instructions like liquid vitamin. It doesn't taste good. It'll never taste good. But you can still love it because you know that it's going to be used to help you. Listen to this statement. To live at God's intended level for us, we must embrace the instruction that helps remove the brutishness in us. In other words, here we are in areas of our life that are carnal, they're brutish, and God wants to bring us above that. He wants us to live spiritually. He wants us to live on a spiritual plane. But the only way that that happens is we must be willing to embrace correction. Because when we find instruction, when we receive instruction, we find knowledge, and that knowledge helps us live where we're supposed to be. And so Solomon's kind of saying this: drink your liquid instruction. It doesn't always taste good when your husband or your wife. It doesn't always taste good when your boss. It doesn't always taste good coming from the pulpit. It doesn't always taste good from a friend. It doesn't always, matter of fact, it probably never tastes good. But love it and look at it and embrace it, knowing that from this will come the knowledge that you need to live at a higher level in your life. We must willingly learn, listen, and cooperate with instruction. Are you hating reproof somewhere in your life? Are you fighting instruction that's coming down your way? Are you being defensive? Do you always have an excuse? And my statement to all of us is simply this: drink your liquid instruction, knowing that it provides the knowledge to help you live above the planes of brutishness. Let's pray.